Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So I'm sitting here going through a bunch of mail that I've received since the first of the year, and I've got about 30 envelopes in front of me, and they all say tax information on them. Yeah, I guess what that's telling me is that we're getting into that tax filing season. So, you know, I've got to get all my stuff together. I got to figure out what my liability is, what do I owe Uncle Sam, and do my fair share and pay my taxes in accordance with tax law. Now, as I was going through all of my documentation, I've got things like K-1s in here, which are distributions from real estate investments that I've made in the multifamily space. And I also have documentation from some single-family properties that I owned and I operated using a property manager. So I've got all of their reports. And then I've got other single-family properties that I self-manage. So fortunately, I keep really good records, and it's not going to be real hard to put all this together. But here's my big takeaway, and here's what I really want to share with you today. In the past several years, since I've been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I have noticed that my income has been increasing, yet my tax liability has been reducing. You heard me correctly. The amount of money coming into my household is going up. The amount of money I'm paying out to the government in the form of taxes is going down. Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty good problem. And I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything wrong. I am just complying with all tax guidance provided by the Internal Revenue Service. Now, I happen to live in the state of Texas, so there is no state income tax. But if I were still living in the state of California, which I'm not, I would also have to take into consideration that I would need to pay the state of California whatever the state of California determined was owed. But as I started digging into all this paperwork and realized that as my investments grow, so does the paperwork associated with those investments. And it's actually not a bad problem. Some of you might be thinking, man, you know what? More paper is going to bog you down. You're going to get drained by all that. And the answer is not really. Because what it tells me is that I'm on the right track. I'm acquiring more and more assets. And what those assets are doing for me is they're providing me income streams in different ways. Now, the most readily available income stream is passive income. See, passive income, it's really the money that's left over when your residents pay you their rent for the properties that they're renting from you in accordance with the lease agreement that both of you signed, and when you make the associated payments for those rental properties, you know, in the form of a mortgage, which is principal and interest. And if you impound your taxes and insurance, and then that's lumped in with your payment. Now, maybe you have some maintenance expenses. I really don't have maintenance expenses because the way I buy a property, I fix that property up when I buy it. It's all part of the analysis that I do. So I take a look at a piece of property and I say, okay, this is something I'm interested in. It has potential. And then I determine what is physically wrong with that property. And I put my teams to work and I get them to renovate that property. And we look at everything that has the potential to go wrong in the next 5 years. And by addressing everything that is potentially problematic with that property, we have a tendency to nip all the maintenance costs in the bud. Now, some of you think, well, you know, you're probably going to have some vacancy loss. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about vacancy loss. You see, vacancy loss has to do with the time period when you don't have a resident in your property. But if you're effectively managing your property and your resident enjoys living there and you're giving them clean, functional workforce housing, and if something does go wrong, you get right on it. You get that taken care of for them, just as if it's your own house, because you want them to have a quality living experience. That's part of the deal that you entered into. So vacancy isn't a real big problem, because your resident is either going to stay there, or because you have it in your lease that you're going to communicate with each other with regards to whether or not you intend, as the owner of the property, to continue to lease that property out. Because maybe you're at a point where you're going to sell the property and you want to let your resident know that you're considering selling, and maybe you would sell it to them. Or your resident notifies you that, hey, they're going to move out, and they give you the notice in accordance with your lease that they're going to move out. So you go to work finding the replacement resident. So your vacancy is pretty minimal. And when it's all said and done, the money left over is your passive income. That's the money that you use for anything you want. You can use it to make a car payment. You can use it to wine and dine your spouse. You can use it, heck, you can put it into a savings account and let it build up so that you can take that money and go buy another asset that has the potential to continue to pay you passive income. That's really how the real estate game is. That's how it works. So as I'm digging through all this tax documentation, I noticed that I'm the recipient of two pensions. And we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about pensions. Stick around.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So I was talking a little bit about tax season, and yeah, it's coming up on us. If you are a responsible citizen, and I know you are, you know that we have a tax filing deadline of April 15th, which may or may not be adjusted based on different things that happen in our society. You may also know, if you operate a partnership or a limited liability corporation or an S corporation, or actually an LLC is not a corporation, it's a limited liability company. And I should know that because I actually have one of those, but I don't use it to invest in single family properties. Just for those of you that wanted to ask me that question, I answered it right there. You have a filing deadline of March 15th, which may or may not get adjusted based on whatever's going on in our country. So that means you've got to get documentation together with regards to all of your different income streams. Now, if you are working, I mean, if you're just purely working, like I did for many years, you get a W-2. And with that W-2, you file your taxes. And, you know, essentially you're trading time for money. They pay you a salary. And, you know, it's a mutually agreeable thing in most cases. I don't think anybody forces anybody to work anymore, but you never know. You file your taxes and you're pretty much done. Now, if you have other sources of income, maybe you get distributions from real estate investments, you're probably going to get a K-1 for that. So you need to make sure you get that K-1 and add it to the pile. I don't want to turn this into a tax class because, trust me, taxes are not my favorite thing in the world. I would rather watch paint dry than deal with taxes. But it is a necessary responsibility as a citizen in this country. So some of the documentation I do get is with regards to pensions that I have earned. And I'm actually the recipient of two pensions. See, the first pension I get is a military pension, and I earned that. And a military pension, based on when I went into the service, indicated that I would earn a certain amount of money based on the rank that I held, the highest rank I held, actually, for any three-year period in my service. Usually it's the last 3 years because usually you move up in rank. But some people, they move up in rank, they slide back, and they go forward. We don't want to talk about that. But there's a calculation that the government does, and they say, okay, this is the amount of money that you have effectively earned in a pension. And it's not bad money. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I get decent money on my pension. But the problem with my pension is that it only pays me one-third of what I used to earn when I was actually serving on active duty. And as I've mentioned on the show before, when I retired from the military and was trying to transition into the civilian workforce, I had a very difficult time. And I went through a financial catastrophe in my life. Yeah, I mean, I burned through my savings. I started taking title loans out on vehicles that I had owned free and clear because I was following a Dave Ramsey mindset. And Dave Ramsey's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey will get you to a certain point in your life financially. And I think a lot of people in this country need Dave Ramsey's information to make them at least understand the basic fundamentals of money. Because they don't teach that stuff in school. They really don't. So I think Dave Ramsey has a purpose. But there's only so far you can get with the Dave Ramsey mentality. That if you want to get beyond just, you know, rice and beans and stuff like that and trying to pay everything off and living all cash, I'm not saying that's a bad way of life, but it's a minimalist way of life. And when you come to an organization and become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, what you find is that there are better uses for your money. There are better ways you can put your money to work for you that can return much better returns than you're getting in the stock market or you're getting in your 401k or all these other things that you may be invested in. And as a result of that, you can do much better. And that's kind of what I'm looking at when I look at my stack of tax paperwork. You see, I've got a lot more documentation this year than I had last year. And last year, I had more documentation than I had the year before. And that's really been the fundamental shift over the last 3.5 years that I've become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Because now I have my money actually working for me. I have my money earning money for me. And it's actually a great thing. It's a game changer in my life. But let me get back to those pensions. So by working 27 years for the United States Army, I draw a pension. And that pension pays me every month. I mean, as long as the federal government stays solvent, we don't get invaded by some bad guys and get taken over, I'm okay. But that pension, which I said earlier, only pays me one third of what I used to make. And you're thinking, well, yeah, but you don't have to work anymore for that. Yeah, but here's the drawback. Try living off of one third of what you've got. Yeah, go ahead, quit your job, live off of one third of what you used to make. And you're going to find, like I found, you have to go back to work. Because there's a giant sucking sound in your checking account. And that's exactly what happened to me. And it took me quite a while to find employment. And I wasn't able to find employment that paid me the same amount that I had been earning on active duty. I talked about that on yesterday's show. So I had to go back to work. And when I went back to work, I went to work for a municipal government. And they have a pension program as a part of that municipal government retirement system. Yeah, I'm under the Texas Retirement Management System, something TMRS, something like that. And what they did was they said, okay, for you to be vested in the pension, see, the Army pension was I had to serve 20 years of active duty. If I didn't make it to 20 years, there was no pension. There was nothing there. But the Texas Municipal Retirement System, that's what it is, Texas Municipal Retirement System, they said, well, basically my city said, that I had to work 5 years in order to start vesting in retirement. But because I was a military service member, former military service member, they bought all of my military time. So literally the day I started working, I was vested in a second pension system. And you're probably thinking, man, that's like cha-ching. You're getting the big bucks, right? Well, that's not really the case. When we come back from the break, I'm going to break down the numbers for you and let you decide for yourself whether a pension is the way to go.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, so we're talking about pensions right now, and I don't want to poo-poo on your pension, because if you're earning a pension, I understand it is a component of your retirement plan. It is. I mean, it was a component of my retirement plan back in the day, and it's actually still a component of my retirement plan. Here's the challenge that I see with pensions. I can't make the amount of money that I receive from the pension increase. You see, the pensions that I earn are fixed payment pensions, and they've got a little component to them called a COLA. And I'm not talking about Coke or Pepsi, I'm talking about cost of living allowance. In other words, those pension managers look at inflation rates in the United States, and they say, okay, based on inflation trends, we will increase your pension payment amount based on whatever that COLA is. And it's usually a pretty small amount. I mean, we're not talking big numbers like, you know, 10, 15, 20%. We're talking small numbers like 0.5 or 1%, maybe 3%. If you're a Social Security beneficiary, you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to COLAs, because it's a little bump in your pay, but it makes you go, what are they basing this off of? Because all of my other costs to live have gone up. My power bill went up. My phone service went up. I got a new fee on my cell phone. I got this. I got that. My mortgage has stayed stable, but my taxes went up. My insurance is going up. Everything's going up. And that little COLA bump doesn't seem to keep up with all those other little bumps that are out there. Because those other little bumps out there can have a tendency to outnumber your COLA increase. They do. Okay, maybe it's my perception, but I think I'm pretty spot on. So let's talk about these retirement plans that I have. So the first one, as I mentioned, I'm a retiree of the United States Army. I receive a pension based on the fact that I served 27 years in the military, that I served a certain number of those years on an active duty status. And as a result of that, I get a paycheck every month. I don't have to go to work anymore to get that paycheck. But that paycheck is only about one third of what I had been making on active duty. I mean, I can go online right now and I could see what I would be earning if I were still serving in the military and compare it to my retirement pension. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to turn my pension away because it is an element of my retirement plan. But here's the thing. I invested 27 years of my life to earn that pension. I went to places that are beautiful, but I was in the Army, so I didn't get to that many of those places that were beautiful. I usually went to the places that weren't so beautiful with people that didn't necessarily like the fact that I or my comrades were there. And we have a tendency to go into harm's way. So, I mean, it's a dangerous profession. And when I sit down and I look at what my pension pays me, and I take into account that I invested 27 years of my life to earn that pension. Oh, and by the way, while I was serving in the military, I had the ability to go out and work a second job or anything like that. I didn't. I mean, I worked crazy hours. So my time was really the military's time. So I took a look at how much I earn annually on my pension. And I'm not going to tell you what the number is because it really doesn't matter. What matters is the number I'm about ready to tell you. If I had bought one rental home, just one rental home, each of the years that I served in the military, and if I had 27 homes at the end of my military service, and I'll tell you, I could have done this. Had somebody sat me down and explained to me how to correctly invest my money. But when you're in the military, I mean, you're told, hey, you're going to get a pension. If you don't get a pension, you know, at one point they offered this thing called a thrift savings plan, which is kind of like a quasi 401k thing that if you left the military, and they didn't offer this thing until like 2001. I remember this thing came out and I was like, you know what? No, I'm not putting my money into something that I've got no control over. Oh, and you know, the big transportable thing about it is if you leave the military before, you know, maybe you retire, You can take that TSP and you can roll into a 401k because the game plan is there. You're just going to be going to work someplace else. You're not really going to be retiring. And if I had bought just one home each year of the 27 years, and that in each of those homes only produced cash flow of $217 per month, I would equate to what my retirement pension is. You heard me correctly. I would equate to what my... So some of you guys have already got your calculators out trying to figure out how much I make on my pension. I get that. Don't worry about it, though. Here's my point, though. If I die tomorrow, let's say I bought 27 houses. I didn't, but let's say I did. If I die tomorrow, my pension remains with my spouse because I pay a fee every month. It's about 6.5% of my retirement pension every month I pay into something called a survivor benefit plan. Now, my wife will retain the pension, but she'll only retain it at 55% of the value. So I'm going to lose 45% of the value when I die. And trust me, I don't consume 45% of the cost to operate our household. I really don't. But those houses, they would continue to pay. They would. And if I had done everything correctly, I would be buying more and more houses. See, I would have gotten to 27 houses a lot sooner than 27 years. Because buying one house a year is the very slow way to do this. But if I die, my wife's going to be okay. Well, that's not quite how it worked out for us. But when you sit down and you think about how real estate can pay you five different ways, and I'm just talking about the cash flow. I am not talking about appreciation. I am not talking about equity capture. I am not talking about principal pay down. I'm not even talking about the tax benefits associated with real estate, which really could have thrown the numbers way up there for us. Had I known what I know now back in the day, I'd be having a completely different conversation with you right now. So getting back to this other retirement that I got, and I mentioned to you that, you know, I earned by working at a municipality. I'm going to tell you how much I earn on that pension. I earn $178.23. I don't withhold any taxes on it because the amount's so low. Now, I worked for 3 years, a little over 3 years, to earn that monthly stipend. I know people that still work in that municipality that are relying on this pension. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you why this is such a dangerous game plan. Stick around.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money, we'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
So I promised you I was going to talk about the dangers of relying on a pension. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, Al, you just told us that you rely on 2 pensions. Well, yes, I do. But I don't. And here's why. First of all, I rely on them to make timely payments to me in accordance with the agreements that I entered into when I went to work for these different entities. In accordance with their rules, I complied. I did what I was supposed to do. I earned those pensions. And I take the money because I earned it. It's kind of a return on investment. But if you actually try and calculate the return on investment, I would have done much better had I been buying real estate along the way, had I been motivated to get myself to a point of retirement in 5 years or less, instead of like my military service working for 27 years, counting on a pension that kind of left me holding the bag. So I'm going to talk about this second pension that I earned. Now, I don't get a lot of money on that pension. I get $178.23 every month. It's nothing to sneeze at. And it really is an opportunity for me to take my spouse out and have a wonderful evening with her, dinner, maybe a couple of drinks, maybe see a movie. So that's the way I kind of look at that pension. But I knew people when I worked at the city that I worked for who had retired from the city, who had put in 30 years of civil service, 30 years. Now, I only worked for a little over 3 years. When you take a look at maybe what I earn and you multiply it by 10, because if I worked 3 years and somebody worked 30 years and we earned the equivalent amount of money while I was there, which was not huge money, but it was an income stream. It was the income stream that I needed to make up the shortfall that I had when I retired. If I was that person who at 30 years had retired, I'd be drawing, assuming I didn't get, you know, any crazy promotions or anything like that where I made a lot more money, I'd be getting about $1,800 a month after 30 years of service. $1,800 a month. I don't know about you, but trying to live off of $1,800 a month, that's difficult. Now, maybe if I was, you know, in college or something, oh, I could do that, no problem. But my lifestyle is completely different now than it was when I was in college. And I knew people that worked at the city who had retired, who came back as temporary employees because they could not live off of the income of that retirement. Oh, and when they came back as temporary employees, they didn't get the same pay and allowances that they had when they were working there and working on that retirement. So essentially they retired, but then they had to go back to work doing the same similar tasks as they did before they retired. Do you see the madness here? I'm going to pile on. You ready? Because here it comes. There was a report published in 2017 by Boston College. And in that report, they estimated that 25% of all private U.S. pensions are going to go broke. You heard me, broke, within the next decade. So you're thinking, okay, well, you're citing something that's 4 years old. Yes, yes, I am. And it is indicating that pensions, 25% of them are going to go broke potentially in the next 6 years. What that means is that there are millions of workers that are counting on that money that are going to have their retirement dreams destroyed. And you're thinking, well, why? Why is that the case? Well, in spite of the fact we've had a great bull run in the stock market, we really have. If you get into the nitty-gritty of how pensions are funded, and you start looking at the devil in the details, according to Boston College, pensions in the United States are $7 trillion. Yeah, that's, you heard the T word, $7 trillion short of what they need to pay out to retirees. And that includes pensions at the local, yeah, I got one of those, the state, I don't got one of those, and federal levels. Oh, I got one of those. And you can't control that. You have no control over it. Any more than you have control over trying to earn a pension if you are afforded a pension by your employer. But when the 401k came into existence, employers saw it as a huge opportunity to shift the burden of retirement from the organization itself to the employee. You heard me correctly. And some employers, I mean, they'll give you matching funds in your 401k. I get that. But not all of them do. And depending on how you're living your life, you may be able to put more money into your 401k. I don't know all the rules. I mean, your 401k is managed by your employer in accordance with federal law. But I'm going to strongly encourage you to take a look at what you're doing for retirement planning. And then do what we used to do in the military. Drop a big bomb in the middle of it. Yeah, see what happens. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with maybe in the next 6 years your pension fund going sideways? I mean, I've talked with Greg on Tuesday, and we were talking about people that we knew that were earning pensions like 10, 15 years ago. The organizations that were managing those pensions weren't doing a very good job of it. Or they were banking on stock market growth or whatever they were banking on. But we saw values of pensions erode, like out in California. You know, those pension plans out there, back when I was out there, I mean, we're going back a few days. The people that I knew that were relying on, say, state of California pension were concerned. Because if you look up how those funds are doing, there's a big scary thing that you read. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, because if you want to know, you need to go look for yourself. I think the most prudent avenue for you to take is to learn how to correctly invest in real estate. And if you just look at investing in real estate as like a side gig or a, you know, a side hustle or a, you know, I'll throw a little money at it, see what happens, and I'm not going to pay any attention to it, you're doing it wrong. There's a methodology to doing it correctly. And that's what we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. We will teach you how to correctly invest in single-family and multifamily properties. And we focus only on residential properties. We don't get into other forms of commercial real estate. The pandemic solidified our notion that people need a place to live, which also turned into their place to work, which also turned into their place to raise their children and teach their children. And hopefully we're going to get past this pretty soon. But that's not going to negate the fact the people will need a place to live. And not all rental property is created equal. There's some nasty stuff out there. That's not what we deal with. We deal with clean, functional workforce housing that provides a great living experience for our residents. And when you do it correctly, it starts turning into passive income streams that you can use to retire yourself in the next 5 years. And I'm not making that up. We have case after case that backs that statement. And if you want to figure out how to do it, check us out at freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.